I have the honor of introducing our first faculty speaker for the seminar series. Today you'll be hearing from Dr. Si-Chin Wong. Dr. Wong is an associate professor with the Tennessee Forest Products Center, which is a part of the Department of Forestry, Wildlife, and Fisheries. Dr. Wong received all three of his degrees, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees from Nanjing Forestry University in Nanjing, China, where he majored in wood science and technology for his master's and PhD, and is it wood-based panel major for his bachelor's degree. His research interests include manufacture and performance of wood-based composites, natural fiber reinforced plastic composites, bio-nano composites, dimensional stability, consolidation, optimization of pressing strategy, wood furnace drying, and wood adhesion. Dr. Wong's authored or co-authored more than 100 technical publications and journal articles, and he's had 6 patents, and 2 patents are pending, which is unusual, unless you're in forest products, and that's pretty typical to have several patents under your belt. I'll let Dr. Wong introduce his title. Looks like he's going to give us an overview of some composite work.
Thank you, Cass, for your introduction. I hope everyone can hear me very well. Is that good on the back? Because this is the first seminar, I think it's I can take some advantage because it's nobody will be. I can concern is overlap with somebody else. So what I'm thinking is here today is because we try to understand each other. Sometimes is I try to understand fishery, forestry, whenever in our department. Because a lot of time is, I fear is a benefit. So when you look at somebody else's work, a lot of time is maybe is technically, you know, is the knowledge may not so important, but sometimes I really learn is methodology from somebody else's work. So what I can share with you is before I joined this department, I never take any course about forestry. Of course, never anything related wildlife, fishery. But since I joined this department 10 years ago, I learned quite a bit. So really is start familiar with some is related to the issue related to the forestry, wildlife, and fishery. So lots of work is I sort of is need open mind. So sometimes you do the research, not just your specific field. But today I want to try to give you a little bit broader, instead of narrow down to my research area. Of course, I will be give you overview about my research area. So that's the edit. Maybe one third presentation today. So first thing is I want to start with, I know it's here is most people is working on science. So you graduate, you want to become scientist, right? Is there anyone don't want to become scientist? Raise your hand. Of course, we want to become a scientist. But first one we need to start with is what's the science? But of course, is if you look at the definition, so that is the definition, is what's about the science? So of course, science is very long. You can see different people who have a different concentrate. What's the science? But for me, I more like to look at another view. Is even look at this picture. What's the science? So I want to try to inspire someone else. So that's the science. So whenever it's a tool you're available, so you better to have a better tool to look at somebody else, what are they doing? So that's the science. It's very simple. So let's give you my definition is, so really is looking for what have been done, and then what have not been done. most important, that's the last part, is to see what can be investigated yourself. So that's the science. So basically, is training is when you graduate from graduate school, like you either get the master's degree or PhD degree, you really need to learn these three things. So first thing is you have to understand, you know, you learn a lot the things, you look at a lot of the paper. So you need to understand, first thing, people already done these things because you start on the school, whenever is elementary school, whenever. That is people already done. You learn from books, that is the things you already did. So second part is important is you have to find out what have not been done. That's more important. So instead you know is what you already know is from textbook, but later on if you want to become scientist, you have to realize you after read one paper or two papers, you need to realize which part have not been done yet. Because that will be important is you are become the professor if you get a PhD degree, that maybe you want to become the professor. So you have to know is what you can do yourself. So that's the most important. But next sense is if you talk about science, so that's the two general, is top general. Raise the hand if you read any paper from these two general. Look like half, at least, maybe a little bit more than half. People read the paper from this top journal. Maybe you directly read the paper from these two journals. Maybe sometimes you read some paper, that paper referred to these two journals. Why are these two journals so important? Because the paper published in these two journals is original and now have a big impact. So they address more popular science. Of course, you publish anything in the professional journal, that is a new thing, right? You can't repeat somebody's work and then publish it on the journal. Of course, you cannot do that. But the question is here is, this two journal is top journal because impact DEX, I'm not sure, maybe that right now is a 30 something or 18, 20 type of things. Very top. But how many people consider in your lifetime you think you can publish one paper in these two journals? Or either that series, such as Nature, right now Nature, the journal on the Nature, they have some other journal as well, like Nature Material, Nature Biotechnology, that type of things. Is that anyone think your lifetime you want to publish one? Yes? Good. I sort of maybe is nobody want to consider that way. Because what I'm thinking is, when I was in the graduate school, I always think is, one thing I learned a lot is this sentence. I translate from Chinese. So before I put it to here, I thought, well, is that a true sense? Is that is because I learned this quotation from General George Patton. I say, can I find it in English? So I already spent 30 minutes on the Google to try to find that, is that really the quotation is really coming from General Patton? I couldn't find it. Maybe it's just translation doesn't work that way. But good sense is here is, what I mean is, if you want to become a good soldier, of course you need to have your dream. One day you can become general. What I mean is you need set high bar. If you don't have that high bar, you never get there. If you have that bar, so you have direction to go. So the same is, I say is, if you don't have a dream, you want to publish something in the Nature or science, you never get there. So if you want to have a top scientist, you better to learn to that goal is maybe one day you can go to have one paper, go to the science or either Nature. Let's give you two examples. One example is here is if someone sit under the apple tree. So apple is coming down from the tree, hit the hand. So what could happen? So it depends, right? I think most people heard this news and this type of things before. Because you're hit by the apple, so someone maybe say, oh, I'm just not lucky. I sit under the apple tree. But if you're a scientist, you're already thinking about what could be happen, that will be different, such as Newton. So people still debating that is a true story or not. But in the England, they already identify one tree that is the apple tree, or either that location, Newton hit by apple. And then later on, she realized that it's great sense to realize why is apple is always go to the ground, not go to the space. So that is coming from, is what I mean is, if you have knowledge, you consider something in your mind. So sometimes it's one thing is happen, maybe trigger your knowledge, and then you really is find something new series or new invention type things. If you don't have that knowledge, you hit by apple tree, of course, you never can consider gravity. You never think about that way. Okay, you say, well, that is, we cannot learn that. Because that is happened a few hundred years ago. How we can repeat that? Let's give you another more recent example. So I think it's here on the audience, quite a bit of people working on the forest. That's good sense. So one thing is here is a lot of people is very smart. They can identify some symptom and then to try to understand what's going on over there. So one thing is here is we know it's a palm, we grow some seed, right? So seed need to go to the ground. So like a mother tree, what do they want the seed going to? Of course they want the seed is far from underneath, right? They don't want the seed going here. So they want the seed far away. Because seed is stay here, they never have a chance to survive. Because this tree is too big shadow. So 100 years ago, people already realized. So during the white condition, and the pancone is not open, not seed release. But during a dry condition, and then pancone is open. Let's say it's going down, because dry condition is the seed is less weight. So they have a more chance when they falling down and then fly a little bit farther. So that is really the nature sense. So people already published this paper 100 years ago. So that is very old. I'm not sure anyone read any paper 100 years old paper or not. I told my student, I say, it's oldest book I read related to science is back to 1930s. That's the oldest I'm reading. I mean, direct read related to my research. Of course, not like a Newton gravity type things. So this is the paper published that is identified is its pancone is really amazing because the pancone already died. So they are already dry. So must be something is behind that to control when they need to release the seed, when they not release the seed. Of course, they consider that is must be related to some kind of mechanical property type sense. I'm not sure how many people to take any course related to wood science. But this is a very quick to give you review if you know this one, you can solve that problem. So what I mean is individual wood fiber. So that is the structure, if you look at the individual fiber, is secondary, the wall is, they have a cellular microfiber train. So what I mean is, if you look at the cell wall, so that's the preliminary wall, and then that's S1 layer, S2, S3 layer. But mainly dominate the wood is dominated by S2, but if you don't look like here, S2 layer is, if you down to the cellular level, so some area is cellular is crystal, some area doesn't. But this the direction actually is not parallel to the length. They have some kind of angle. So that's the basic sense is to look at the wood. That is how they construct each other. So if you know this knowledge, but people if you read that paper, it's published 100 years ago. So they really is do that research, they can publish some paper in the Nature. So that's a real example. This is the Nature 97, not very old. So that is just 10 years ago. So this is one group of people in the UK. They, I don't know how they found that paper, 100 years old paper, to find that symptom, use this knowledge to explain what's happening. So here a little bit detail. So if they did is they cross-section that pancone. And then look at the structure on the pancone. And then they identify that is the individual pancone is, if you see the stay here, if they change the angle, of course they can release the seed or either not seed to get out. But why they can change during the weather? So what I mean is, very wet condition, high humidity, they are closed. And then dry conditions, they're open. So basically is, if they look at the curve, so what I mean is, this is the structure on the surface. So it depends on the relative humidity. So if they have humidity higher, they are changed the angle. So this is the angle here. So if they have, so that means the angle bigger, so this open, it becomes smaller. So C cannot get out. If the weather is drier, so this angle is small, so that means this open is bigger. So that's very simple. That is really is, if you look at the more detail is on the surface, on the pancone surface, that is have some angle. So that means that is also is a cellular structure. So that is the direction orientation. And then you don't need to look at that detail. So what I mean is this is the two example is based on the history you consider is lossless link each other. So this is the perfect example is if you knowledge just know on the wood science, of course you never can get this work done. But you have to either work with someone in the forest or either you get some kind of clue if somebody is have some question and then so you can answer using your own knowledge. So that's the perfect fit together. What I mean is the hour right now is unfortunately is everything is so complicated. So you have to use multi-discipline solution to solve that problem. Let's change a little bit skill. Because on the title you say I mainly try to focus on material. So history is here is if you look at the material sense, the change. Of course is the first type of the tool we use the material is stone. But we still use it, right? We still use stone to make a building. Even stone made the building even more expensive. So if you look at the history, which kind of material we really use? So the trend here is you change the stone and then to the bronze, and then you change to iron. So how many years do you change? That's 3,000 years. So you change from one material to another material. And then even you use the air here, and then 1 week start using steel. That's another 3,000 years. So even that little change, you know, it's air from atom, the level, they're almost the same. So two material, you start to produce the steel much later than. So what I mean is here is just a change on the history is this material change is so slow. And then if you look at this century, past century, so you have a silicon age, that's 1950. And then another 20 years, we change to bio age. And then nano age really is just the star 17 years ago. And then we just start on the nano bio area. So what I compare this area to this area, that means is everything changes so quick. So instead, if you compare my professor, maybe my professor maybe is, if they are working on this time, maybe they are have read something is the knowledge will be have enough for lifetime. But now is everyone is in this room, you already feel that is knowledge changes so quick. So that means you based on textbook, you read yesterday, not enough for tomorrow. So you have to continue learning. So that's because that's everything is changing so quick. So it's basically the same is, so every technology is the same is you starting climbing. So that means lots of the develop. So this the first one is a silicon age. So we already know right now silicon age already on the peak. So we are not expect they are continue climb. So maybe someday is going down. So biotech still increasing, and then nanoscience just starting. So everything is expect some technology is continue growing, some technology fly over. Let's give you a little bit about nano. So what's the nano? So that's the smallest I can make on the PowerPoint, but still not nano yet. So nano, what I mean is, if you have some material is really down to the nanoscale, if they really change their the property, so that's the nanomaterial. Of course, lot of things is on the nanoscale, like water. Water molecule, of course, that's the nanoscale, the water molecule. But water, you consider single molecule and bulk material, they don't have anything change. They don't have performance change. So that's not nanomaterial. If some material, if you down to from macro scale, down to the nanoscale, performance changed. So that could be the nanomaterial. So if you look at the scale, so smallest one, maybe N is 5 millimeter on the range. If you're familiar with the pin, the hem of the pin just 1 or 2 millimeter on diameter. But also is a millimeter. If you down to the micro scale, red blood cell, that is few micron. So that is quite small. You still cannot see by your naked eye. It's very small. You're probably familiar with this type of things. You know, when we use the mechanical watch, but of course this is not one. Mechanical watch is everything is you need to make everything smaller enough. So you can make a watch that small. But if you're down to the nanoscale, quite a bit good example is here, such as DNA. is down to just 210 nanometer on the scale. Of course, each individual item, that spacing is nanoscale as well. The interesting sense is here. If you down to the smaller, so some performance could be changed. Or either you want to control some big things, maybe you have to down to work on a nanoscale. Give you a couple examples just a minute. So first question is, we know it's a human hand. It's pretty small. It's micron scale. I think that is just 30 micron diameter. So could we make the car smaller enough and then run it on the human hair? Yes or no? Last year, professor on Rice University did that. Make the car smaller enough, can be run on the human hair. So what I did is a single molecule, the car. What does that mean, the car? Car, that means you have a wheel. Wheel can turn. It's not something is skating on the surface. So what they synthesize is single molecule and then have a four wheel. And then they put this single molecule on the surface of the gold surface. When they heat up the gold surface, the reaction between the single molecule and the gold surface release, the force is smaller. So this car is start moving. So actually they are not skating on the surface. They are really is spinning. The wheel is spinning. So they can control their move or stop, just control the temperature. How useful is this one potentially? This potentially is useful, such as, of course, this is a car. How about the nano truck? So if you have nano truck, okay, we carry the medicine we need. Like we move this truck into cancer cell, and then dump the medicine into cancer cell, and then cure the cancer. And then instead go to whole your body. Because we already know is you take medicine, actually medicine need to get a certain level. So that means on the blood, you get same medicine everywhere. So that medicine will be used to cure disease and also have a bad effect on hair cell, right? But of course, it's nanotechnology. You can do that if you can control the truck to carry your material, that's medicine. When they reached the location, and then you can release that medicine. So that is a lot of the research right now is going on. Is on the medical research is they call it it's medicine release concept. So what I mean is you instead of taking your medicine to control your whole body, you just need to release that medicine into a certain area. So that will be have a much smaller effect by the medicine. Because lots of medicine is, for the health people, that is a toxic material, right? So that's the one example is nanoscience. But we also learned a lot of things from the nature. What does that mean from the nature? We already know some material is very strong, very tough. So one material we already know, we love this one, especially lady, love this one. So diamond. So diamond is, if you look at, so that is the one example is, that's the value of $5 million, that piece. So if you look at the mechanical property, so you already know is that is 90 to 200 gigapascal on the hardness. Wood material on the silver level, only just 0.5. This is a couple hundred, right? Would just 0.5 gigapascal. And the modulus, that's 1,000. And would about 20. So that is material very strong. But of course, when we realize why they are so strong, that's just because unique carbon-carbon bonding develop on the nature. So that's the structure. If you have this carbon-carbon bonding, this on this structure, you can get very strong material. We already learned this one long time ago. So people already developed the material is carbon fiber. So you already know is that's the man-made very strong carbon fiber. And then carbon fiber right now is used to make lots of the product. So you probably enjoy lots of the sports goods, such as tennis racket. Maybe that is the carbon fiber reinforced material. So it's similar like this year, the big news is here, this new airplane. So this the new airplane is made use more composite than any other material. So you already know it's the best material. Right now, even the composite, because they are strong, they are lightweight. So if you can decrease the weight, of course, you can increase efficiency. Use less energy to fly this airplane. So that is you already use the more than half the material. Use the same idea is what you know is if we can make the composite like diamond, maybe we can make a much stronger material. So one material right now is developed is we call it carbon nanotube. So this is a nano carbon tube, this is a nano carbon ball. So what that means is this is the carbon-carbon structure. So very simple. If we can grow that, that material could be very strong. So right now is in the lab scale or even small pilot scale, scientists can grow this type of material. So this type of material almost like a diamond. So that's the performance, you almost like a diamond. So this is most strong material man-made so far. So what that means is that's 100 times stronger than steel. But the weight only 1/6 of the weight of the steel. So that means is you make a material stronger, but you have a less weight. But there right now is not cheap. But this is a quite big improvement if you compare 2 years ago. 2 years ago maybe is 1 gram is a few hundred dollars. But now is 1 pound is a few hundred dollars. So that already is price going down. So big sense is this material is strong, but also is very good thermal conductivity. You can have a lot of research, and then you can make a lot of application. Is one example is here is if you pour this material into the plastic, you can make a plastic semiconductive. So that means is semiconductive material you can make from plastic. Instead, use the traditional way from silicon, because plastic much cheaper, and also is much bigger volume available. So that is potentially if you pour this material into the lots of other material, you can really is change the performance. So if you pour this one into the plastic, and then you make the bump for your car. So you already know is bump is plastic made, because that's the absorbed energy when people crush each other. But that paint on that surface requires special technique, because plastic is hard to paint. It's not like a steel. So you have to use a different technology to paint the plastic. So if you add this one into the plastic, so that is plastic become similar like metal. So you can use the same technique to paint that part instead of using a special technique. So that will be saved lots of money. Another example is here is most common used nanomaterial, that is nanoclay. So that is the material is coming from soil. So what I mean is here is if you make the clay smaller, and then you create a lot of the good things. The first thing is they are small. So that is thickness only 1 or 2 nanometer. But they do have a lot of surface area. So 1 gram, they can have this much the area, the huge. If you disperse this clay into the polymer, so you can generate very strong the material. So what I mean is, 10 years ago, Toyota made the first nanoclay reinforced plastic part for their automobile. So how much they need to add? They add just maybe 3% this clay into the plastic. So they can make that plastic part 100% stronger than original plastic. So just 3%, because material is so small, you don't need that lot of material to add in. And then other is, because you add another material, you also have other things is, you maybe can make the material tighter and then less air transfer. So quickly, a few examples. Probably there are a lot of people play tennis in this room. You only know is a tennis ball, when you throw away, they are not damaged, right? They are look still good, right? Just because they are not enough pressure inside, right? Not tight enough, you have to throw away. Just because the tennis ball, if you outside the plastic or rubber, ideally, they are sealed, so you can have a hold that pressure, but no material can hold that tight. So they always lose some air. So longer time, they lose more, especially when the tennis ball hit by a racket, because that's the stress is hit into the ball. That creates more force into the ball. So they always lose some air. So that one is if you lose air, that's ball you cannot use. Especially Roddy hit the ball, because he can hit the ball up to 147 miles per hour. So ball will be damaged very quick. But right now is they use the nanotechnology, is they add that nanoclay into the rubber. So make the rubber more tire, so less air can get out. So this ball can last longer. So same idea is you can use this technique to add into the film. So you already know is you use the film cover your food. Why food will it be become cannot eat? Because fungus or bacteria growing. Why are they growing? Because they can access oxygen. If you not allow oxygen into your food, they never become bad. So that's why we have a vacuum sealed bag. But even vacuum sealed bag is not 100% sealed. So if you use the nanotechnology, make the film, not allow any air penetrate into that film. So that packaging material will be much better than current material. So other thing is like if you want to treat the people's surface, you really don't want to look like this one. You want the material is transparent. So if your material make it smaller, that they are changed a lot. First thing they change is transparent. So if you have a disease, you need some medicine you're coding on. So you can, if you use the nanotechnology, that's definitely changed. So other is, other things that we need to talk about is, that's the last material we talk about is not related to us, right? Let's change a little bit angle, is look at, because in this room, our room is working on natural resources. But good sense is, if you're working on this area, we need to look at what's the bio-renewable resource coming from. So number one is forest. That's very good. I think a majority in this room probably working on this area. And then you will have a fishery. Fishery is here. So what I mean is basically those the material is biorenewable, but they are basically threefold. So either they are provide protein or either oil or either carbohydrate. So let's give you one or two examples to cover this part. It's protein-based material. Actually, they are from the nature. We already have one good example. Protein can make very good material. So what's the material we can make is spider. So spider can make a good fiber out. So we call it the nature nylon. The good thing is here is they are very strong. And how strong they are? They are almost three times stronger than steel. And another very interesting performance is elongation to break ratio approach 30%, like a rubber. So what I mean is they can perform very long but never to break. Reason why? Because they have to survive. Spider need to use that the net to catch insect. You know the insect is not that sense. Insect could be fly 20 miles per hour, crash into the net. And then insect could be small, could be big. So that's a lot of force go to the net. The net need to hold, not break, and also catch that insect. So spider can eat, right? So really is very amazing is spider can make the roast the material that's strong, but also is under very natural condition. What I mean is room temperature. They can make that material. So on the lab, lots of the scientists over the world try to make a spider, the material on the lab scale. After many, many, many years of research, later on, they can make the material similar like the material spider can make. But unfortunately, is they have to use high temperature, high pressure, toxic material to make. So that is, there are lots of research we have to accomplish before we can compete with spider. So that is the one example. Another example is wood. Wood have some unique performance. So it depends which area you're looking for. Some area is even wood is better than any other material. So one example is here is, we already know is we right now is use more and more energy from wind. So if you go to California, you can see more like this one. In Tennessee, we don't have a lot, but still developing. And then if you want to have energy this one, you have to pay a little bit extra, right? You look at your bill each month, they ask you, you volunteer to participate so you can pay a little bit more to buy energy from wind tumbling. So this turbine, the blade is big, huge. So that's the diameter is 180 foot on the diameter. But Of course, you can imagine is you want to generate energy under any condition. Where low wind, you still can generate energy, right? So you blade need very light. Otherwise, how wind can make you tumbling, turning. So you need to make a material very light. And that need also is strong, right? Because you have to transfer that force to the bottom so you can generate electricity. So right now it's the best core material is that huge. It's the best core material actually use a very low density wood. So that's a basalt wood. Because that's a wood that very less density. And then you pour the surface with some other polymer. You can make the material very strong and also lightweight. And then scientists found out is if you don't use this material, you use other form. Some reason they still struggling is they make a noise if you don't use this material. So even you can make some material is very light, but whenever the reason, they still not figure out why. So during the winding, they are turning, they make a loud noise. People don't like it. So this one even better. So that is one example is wood is great. But let's go down a little bit further is wood if you look at the different scale. So wood, of course, this you can make a lumber. But basically, if you look at the individual cell, and then if you go to the cell wall, that is mainly the cellulose. So cellulose is on the wood, actually is a reinforced material. So that is material, but cellulose in standard is split on the cell wall. Actually, they are formed like fabric. But if you go a little bit further, down to the nanoscale. So cellulose, some part can be formed like a perfect crystal. So this is the crystal part. Okay, if you test the material on a different scale, such as if you look at the wood as a lumber, that's the performance you can get, 10 gigapascal on the modulus, tensile stress, the 100 millipascal. But if you testing individual fiber, that is a little bit bigger. So that is the 40 to 70 gigapascal. And then tensile stress, 30% to 150% increase. But if you look at the individual crystal, that is a huge improvement. So this is a material, is really not compared to the nano carbon tube just mentioned before, but that is one third of that material. So performance is just one third. But good thing is here is cellulose is huge. I already mentioned that's the natural resources, that's number one. And that performance is so good, and also is this material is definitely is biodegradable. So if you use this material for anything, so you pour it for a service, later on they can be biodegradable. So it's kind of like interesting, right? So of course, if we can break down material into the much smaller scale, let's see what could happen. So this is the one example is if we break down fiber into the much smaller scale. So natural fiber is looking for is 30 or 40 micron on diameter. If you break down into the smaller, such as less than 1 micron, so this is the scale is 2 micron. You see this most of the fiber is less than 1 micron. You even can break down into much smaller scale. And then this one is less than 50 nanometer. If you add this material into the polymer, and then we definitely can improve the quality on that polymer. Such as you add into the plastic, you can make a plastic stronger. So that is coming from the research by Qing Zheng. So this is something is we are working on. But of course, we want to emphasize is forestry, that's huge for the nation, just because they are big volume. They can produce that material. And also is the industry we already have is already mature. They know is how to produce any type of material. Instead, you know, just the new material we talk about. Another sense is, if you talk about economic, how it can make a good impact, you always need to look at the big area. So what the big area is, why important for the first product? Just because they are going to residential market, majority. Residential market is contribute about 20% GDP. If you follow the news recently, you already know is we are on the edge go to the recession. Why? Just because is housing industry have problem. Because that is a contribution by housing industry is huge. If you this area have problem, you definitely have a problem. So material right now is very broad. That's just a few examples give to you. It's one example is this is the wood plastic component instead of traditional lumber. So you can use for decking material. But even you are can making the part for the automobile, that also is fiber reinforced, natural fiber reinforced plastic component. So this is the one example is Audi A2 is made from fiber reinforced composite. Maybe when you drive the car, but you don't know that it is contains some wood or natural fiber. Right now, it's changing the gear and then look at what we're doing in our group. Our group is doing basically three things. The first thing is raw material. We already know is that we have a lot of different type of material. Of course, we can do a lot of research about the raw material. So material is, we have several projects here. And then individually, maybe you already heard from Qing Zheng, Chai Ra before, and then other students, Sandeep, Xi'an maybe will be give the talk a little bit later. Maybe I don't want to repeat that. Maybe just emphasize, highlight one. So one thing is we did use the nano indentation to do the research. Is what I mean is sidewall is pretty small. So this is the individual wood. And then, but if you can do a very small tip to force the testing small area, such as this tip, push into the material. But if you can measure what's the force put on and then what's the displacement put on, and then you can calculate what's the mechanical property. So that's the one example is this is the indent area, and then after indent you can calculate what's the mechanical property on that material. So good thing is here is take one example is here is if we collect 10 different hardwood from different density, you just need to look at the highlighted part. So this is the density. So we start with the popular very low density material. And then another, this is a species I'm not familiar, you probably not familiar, I'm not sure. So that is a very dense material. But of course, if you measure those lumber, of course, they are mechanical properties different. So if you look at the bending performance, and the high density one usually is better than popular. Popular only 8.1, but this one is 21. Because you have a dense, you have less lumen. you have less water, you have more material inside. But if you look at the nano indentation on the cell level, what so popular is a 16.9, but this one is a 24, but this one is a 21. So they are much close. So what I mean is, if you utilize your material instead of used like lumber, traditional way, if you use like a nanomaterial, those material quite similar if you break down into the sidewall. The second research we're going on is we do the composite material developing and processing. So this is a couple project right now is working on. Give you two highlights. So first one is, I'm not sure you're how familiar with oriented strand board. This is the most popular residential building material. So every new house right now, the build is used the oriented strand board to make. So first thing is you start with the log, and then make a flex, and then go to the process, make a panel later on. So material, whenever it's growing in the tree, you go to the final product. But problem is here is final product contain everything. One thing is we don't like is on the final product is hemicellular. Because hemicellular doesn't give the strength, either attacked by the fungus. If we can remove them, maybe we can make a better product. So what we try is here is instead direct go to the panel, but when we make the strand and then we do the chemical processes, let's do some extraction, remove some hemicellular. So hemicellular, after remove, maybe we can do fermentation because the hemicellular easily to become sugar. So easily to make a fuel for the car. And then rest of the material still stay there. So you see the color change. This is after extraction. This doesn't have extraction, so color change. But we still can make the same product. So ideally, this is a process right now we're working on, and I try to convert existing composite production from just make composite. Maybe future we can make a composite at the same time to make biofuel. Another example is, if we add nanomaterial into the composite, we definitely can improve the quality. So one research right now we just finished up and I'm going to have another pattern very soon is we add material into the composite, add very small amount, a few percent. And then we can increase the performance. Because if we increase the performance, so that means we can use less material to make the same product. So we can save a lot of material. So what I mean is, individual mill, maybe we can save $2.4 million to $9.7 million each mill if you use this technique. And the third research right now we focus on is advanced material. And then this is the couple project right now we working on. Maybe very quick is what we trying to do here is we have a lot of biomass. Of course, biomass is not just wood. You can read this one. This is the biomass we can consider right now. So this is the biomass. Of course, biomass you can convert. Either you make a nanomaterial or either you can make bio-based polymer. And then you go to the next process. On the next process, of course, you can add other material in. So such as commercial available polymer or either commercial available the nanomaterial. So this is if you have a right processing, maybe you can make a lot of product here. So one example is another faculty member in our department right now is working on from start wood generate some lignin. And then to do this type of process, finally we can make a carbon fiber. So that's the one example is you you depend which kind of process you involve, you can study wood making any product you need. And that's all. I hope you can understand and then learn a little bit today.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions? It's very interesting.
I just have a specific question about those wind turbine blades. Did you say that the blades are made completely of wood or just the core?
Just coal.
The rest of the material
still is carbon fiber reinforced material on the surface. So core is big walling, but need to make them lightweight. That's the reason why. But you can make a very thin the blade.
And it's really strong. Like my impression of balsa wood is that it's pretty breakable, but with all of that around it, it makes it stronger.
One research you find out is actually is people poured balsa wood is very soft. They poured a two skin surface, so you fiber reinforced skin, so very thick. And then that's the structure. They think that's the structure is much stronger than any material you find on the table. Just the you change the structure, so that way you can make the structure. That's basically the what we call is the material science the approach.
Thank you very much for your time. It's very interesting. I just wanted to announce that next week we're starting our student speakers, Dan Tinnenbusch and Pracha Kumatani. And we'll see everybody here again. And let's thank Dr. Ron.